This is Martin Zender in the midst of rumbling thunder out here in Fort Lauderdale at a table on my back porch with some greenery in the background, the majesty of God rumbling overhead, and that's appropriate. I'm going to be talking to you about John chapter 1, as I promised. These first 15 verses are loaded with truth. We're going to unpack it. You have to slow down. You have to look up words. And you have to get rid of all religious, theological presuppositions in order to hear what the Spirit of God is saying here. This is John's account. Again, here's some of my notes in my scripture at the beginning of this, and I'm going to unpack this for you. In beginning was the Word. Why did I say in beginning? Why didn't I say in the beginning? Because the word "the" is in light face type in the concordant version. This means that the word "the" was not in the manuscript. There's no definite article here, "the" being a definite article. Therefore, this was in a beginning. It's in beginning. The best way to say it is a beginning, not the beginning. If it was in the beginning, it could not say in the beginning was the Word and the Word was toward God. That couldn't be said, because in the beginning, we don't even know what the beginning was. We know there was a time, intellectually, we know this, when only God was in the universe. We know that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the creation of God. Colossians 1:16. We also know Revelation 3:14 that he's the God's creative original. So before that, God was alone in the universe. If we could call anything a beginning, that would be it. But we don't even know or if we could call anything the beginning, that would be it. But we don't even know if that was the beginning. In the beginning of this context, this is the context. This is the beginning we're talking about. It's a beginning. The beginning of the Word. In a beginning was the Word. Now, in this case, the word "the," which is the definite article, is in the text, because in the concordant version, it's dark face type. Can you see the difference here between the two "thes"? Then the first verse, there's the beginning and a beginning. The first "the" is light face type, so it's a beginning. The second is in dark face type. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God. The biggest word in this sentence is the word "toward." This is a huge word. It wipes out the doctrine of the Trinity, which is a strange thing, because this verse is used to prove the Trinity. But this verse disproves the Trinity, and it only takes one word to do it, and that is the word "toward." And I'll tell you why in a second here. In a beginning was the Word. Word is the Greek word logos. It's expression. It's an expression. Christ was God's first expression. God breathed out and Christ came. I thought God breathed out and the universe was created. No, that was Elohim. Elohim is plural for God. The first time God, El, this is the singular, El, God's title. The first time God breathes, Christ comes out. It's the first creation of God, and it is the beginning of him expressing himself, because he is going to be expressed to sentient human beings who depend on their five senses, and so he's going to create a being that can communicate in that way. God is absolutely invisible and inaudible and imperceptible. So naturally, in a beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God. That one word "toward" gets rid of the Trinity. The Word was toward God. The King James says with God. The Word was with God. All right, that's weak. I don't like that word. I will tell you why I prefer the word "toward." But even that word dispels the false teaching of the Trinity. How can something be with itself? With itself? How can something be toward itself? The beauty of this word "toward," that the word was toward God is that everything Jesus Christ does moves everything toward God. He himself said he did not come to this world to serve himself, to please himself, to bring people to himself. He only brought them to himself in order to deliver them to God. Everything goes toward God. We've been talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus Christ in verses 24 through 26, he gives up his kingdom and lays it at the feet of God, gives it up to the Father, to his Father. Everything goes toward God. And Romans 11, verse 36, says the same truth. Out of him, and through him, and for him is all. This is God. Out of him, everything's out of him, and through him, and into him is all, for him. The literal Greek there is into him. If you see the word for in the concordant version, you see a superscript I-O right there. Do you see that? Right there. There's a superscript I-O. Romans 11:36, which means it's literally into. Everything is into God. How does that happen? It happens through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the transport system that brings all creation back to God. How can he be toward himself? And the word, the expression, the logos was toward God. You can't be toward yourself. And yet the Trinitarians and the modalists try to tell us that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, for instance, he's praying to himself. He prays, then he goes up to heaven and he's God. Now he answers himself, comes back to earth. This is outrageous. The very word toward disproves the Trinity right there. That one word. He was toward God. And here's another critical phrase that comes after this. I was planning on getting all the way down to verse 15 on this show. That was a joke. The word was toward God and God was the word. Do you know what the King James says there? And the word was God. It is assumed that this passage is trying to teach that Jesus and God are the same being. And the word was God. The word was God. That's not what is being said here. For one thing, it's impossible that that could be being said by virtue of the word toward. This is what John, I'll tell you this right now. This is what John is trying to tell the Jews to whom he is writing. He's trying to tell them that the God that you are familiar with, the God of the Hebrew Scriptures, the God that showed up to Moses on Mount Sinai, the God that passed before him, any of the theophanies, that is the God sightings of the Hebrew Scriptures, they were the Word. Because in the Greek, this is how it reads, and God was the Word. That's the literal order in the Greek. The King James and other versions, they, and you can see that in any Greek manuscript. They purposely, I believe, transposed these words to suggest the teaching, to suggest the idea that John is trying to teach here that God and Jesus Christ are the same being. And the Word was God. So we're talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the expression. Why doesn't he just call him Christ? Why doesn't he just call him Christ? In the beginning was Christ. Because John wants to make him known here as the expression, as the one who's communicating to us and giving us what God is. He's the great communicator. He's the great reacher. He's the one that comes out to us. And then he brings us toward God because God is, again, imperceptible. So, let me read this with both ways of verse 2. I'm going to read it with the King James Version first that says, and the Word was God. And then I'm going to read it the right way. See if you can see the difference. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, and the Word was God. The Word was toward God. And then, as if something could be toward itself, the Word was God. Now I'm going to read it the right way, the way the Greek has it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, and God was the Word. And God, capital G, was the Word, which is a metaphor. God was the Word, that's a metaphor, and I'm going to explain to you the characteristics of a metaphor. But John's point is that the God of the Hebrew Scriptures was Christ. And he's going to go on to say that this one that we talk to, this Jesus who came in flesh, the Word became flesh, he says here later, we're going to get to that. This was the one you were talking to. This was the one Moses was talking to. This is the one Job was talking to. This is the one who was talking to Job. That's Abraham, to our patriarchs. This was God. God was the Word. Better. God was the Word. This is a metaphor. Oh, first, before I do that, I want to look at this word toward. The same word, pro, P-R-O-S, in the Greek, is used in right across the page in John 1:29. Speaking of John the Baptist, on the morrow, he, John the Baptist, is observing Jesus coming toward him and is saying, lo, the Lamb of God, which is taking away the sin of the world. Common understanding of toward. It's the common understanding. That's why this is not some esoteric, ungraspable, high truth that only the trained theologians can understand. The same word is used here. You understand what it means when John the Baptist looks up, seeing Jesus coming toward him. That means that John the Baptist and Jesus are the same being? No. It means that Jesus is coming toward John the Baptist. It's look, I could try to make myself sound smart and make you feel dumb, but my intention is to show you that these are common words and it takes common sense to understand this. But it's also true that the Spirit of God does renew our minds. Doesn't remove our minds, it renews our minds. So our renewed minds, they don't stop being logical. They don't turn into some different kind of brain, but we're thinking logically here. And God was the Word. God wasn't literally the Word, but God was perfectly represented by the Word. That's the nature of a metaphor. If I hold a picture of my son up and I say, this is Gabe, I'm holding a photograph. This is Gabe. Do you start talking to the photograph? Do you say, hello, Gabe, how are you today? No, this is Gabe. That's a metaphor. It's figurative. We're saying this is such a great likeness of my son, Gabe, that I'm going to say this is Gabe. But it's really a piece of paper with an image on it and a bunch of ink. That's what it is literally. It's not literally my son, Gabe. In the same way, God was the Word. God is not literally the Word. God and the Word, God and his Son, God and the expression, they're not literally the same. But Jesus Christ is such a perfect image of God, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and he is worthy to take the titles of God. He is worthy to be called God. That's how good he is at what he does. That is, taking everybody toward God, to subjector. That's what Eloah means, to subjector. That's the title, that's one of his titles used in the Hebrew Scriptures, Eloah. Let's go back to that just for a second. We have El, Eloah, and Elohim, all with the root word El, meaning subjector. An El is the subjector. Eloah means to subjector, referring to Christ. He subjects everything to God. Elohim are two subjectors. You could say toward. You could substitute to for toward. So I could say El, I could say toward El, and I can say toward Els, like plurals. Other beings that are on the same page with that similar root word, with the El root word, going down the line, El, Eloah, and Elohim, we have the common thread is subjector. The common thread is they're all subserving the one God. They're all operating in the interest of and leading people toward, leading people to God. Just as Jesus came toward John the Baptist, going toward. Isn't it great to know that everything in the universe is going back toward God? It happens through the Word, through the expression. All is out of God, 1 Corinthians 8:6, but all is through Christ. Never does it say, does Scripture say all is out of Christ. Never. It says all is through Christ. He's the conduit. He's the channel. I've been talking to you a lot about 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Adam and Christ are both channels. They're conduits. One leads humanity into condemnation. The other leads humanity into justification. Jesus Christ is a conduit for all things God. And again, that was his glory. That was his primary glory, was to do his Father's will. And he comes out of God doing it. That's what John is telling us. The first thing we hear about the Word in the beginning was the expression. And the expression, what's the first thing? The expression that in the expression was toward God. The expression says, the Word, the Logos says, don't look at me, look at him. If you're going to look at me, I'm going to take you right to him. I'm going to point you to him. That's what we do. We point people to God. You might be looking at me right now, but I'm pointing you to Christ and to God. The Word was toward God, and by the way, God was the Word. It's a metaphor. If it was literal, and look, I should have brought a pen out here. God was the Word. You notice the was, and God was the Word. I can't even see what I'm pointing at. The was is in dark face type. This is important, especially in a metaphor. A metaphor is two nouns on either side of the verb to be. In this case, past tense, was. If this was literal, the word was would be in light face type. For instance, there's a verse that says, God is love. God is not literally love. It's a metaphor. God is love. Love is love. God is God. God is not love. Love is not God. They're two different things. But God is so loving that we're going to use a very strong figure of speech called the metaphor. A less strong figure would be the simile. The simile says something is like something. God is like love. That's what you would say. And here you would say God was the Word. You would say God is like the Word. The Word and God are alike in many ways. The chief way being that Jesus Christ takes people toward God. But we're using very strong language. The metaphor uses very strong language. Instead of Jesus saying, I'm like a door, he says, I am the door. I am a door. Instead of saying, holding up the bread at the Last Supper and saying, this is kind of like my body in a lot of ways. No, this is my body. And because people don't understand the metaphor, they trip all over it, and the Catholic Church has built an entire disaster around not knowing what a metaphor is. So when the verse says God is love, the verb is in dark face type, God is love, because God is not literally love. However, when it says God is spirit, the is in light face type, telling you that this is not a metaphor. The verb to be in the middle of two nouns, which is the classic metaphor construction. Anytime it's a metaphor, that verb will be in the text. It almost separates in a way. It's there to separate the two nouns. Like Jesus says, this is my body. The is in dark face type. I guarantee you it is. I don't even have to look at this, but I've looked at it before. It kind of distances it a little bit. But when the verb is in light face type, it means that in the literal Greek text, and the only place I know this happens with God is when it says, God is spirit. God is spirit. The is in light face type, which means this is not a metaphor. And in the literal Greek, it would read God's spirit. Like with no verb at all, just right in your face, God's spirit. Any questions? God's spirit. So all that to say that God was the Word, it's not trying to say that Jesus Christ was identificationally God, that they're the same being. He's not trying to say, he is saying with the metaphor that the God of the Old Testament was being perfectly represented by the Word. The same Word that we handled. The same human being, the son of Mary and Joseph. That same human being. But actually, he wasn't of Joseph. Joseph was his caretaker. This one is the one you've been dealing with from the jump. This Jesus Christ, who you rejected, is the God you worshiped in the olden days, the God your forefathers worshiped in the olden days. That's the connection John is making here. It's not some random proof text for the Trinitarians. Oh, the Trinitarians, we'll just throw this in for the Trinitarians to have a proof text. No. John doesn't care about that. Doesn't give a crap about it. He's establishing, number one, the purpose of the Logos. That the Word brings everything toward God. It's selfless. And the second thing he's establishing, if I haven't emphasized it enough already, is that you Jews, you Hebrews, so into God, God is the object of your conversations. You read the scriptures to your children by the day. You wrap the scriptures around your arm and around your forehead. You carry the scrolls in great processions. This one that you're worshiping, that was the Word. Yeah, that was the Word. And now we're going to tell you a little more about him.